We live in a confused world, don't we? We live in a world where we can't figure out what's right or what's wrong. We started a few weeks ago looking at really a current event and things that we need to do to handle what's happening in life. Even this morning I looked and sure enough there it was on the front page of the news I was looking on. And there you find that in Oregon, you have just amazing that it happens. In Oregon, a judge said that a man who is identifying not as a woman, but as binary, that is, they're neither male nor female. They were born male and for a long time have behaved feminine, but just recently got a judge to declare that he is binary. That is, neither male nor female. Now, I have a question about that. If a judge or somebody in authority came up to you, you're a guy, looked at you and said, you're a girl, does that make you a girl? No, it doesn't. We live in a world that's confused because we've allowed sin to not only cause us to be tolerant of it, but to compromise beliefs and even bring approval for what clearly is against what God says. We began with asking the question, what is a woman? Other than the obvious, what is a woman? And today the question is, what is a man? If you were to say to your young boy or grandson, this is what a man is, what would you say? A man is a person who grows a beard and spits, who owns a four-wheel drive pickup, right? Is it a person that grows, is a person that gets large muscles? Is it a person that can eat and devour an entire pizza by themselves? What is a man and what makes a person a man? How would you answer that? How do we train young boys what men are? Our world isn't training them. Obviously, our world says that, well, you are what you feel like you are. You may have been born a boy, but if you feel like a girl, you're a girl. Not only is it in all the targets now, New York City. New York City, I imagine that you might remember that if an employer identifies a male as a male, when in what they feel like they are, and maybe even the way they're dressed is feminine, they can face up to a $250,000 fine. Well, they've gone one bit further. They spent more than $250,000 advertising an open stall rule. That is, not only did they say, well, you can use whatever restroom that you want, they're spending $250,000 promoting it. For many, I don't think they recognize the nature of man, or might say men, from a male standpoint. If you tell a sexual predator that he can go into a woman's restroom at any point of time with no question, do you think there might possibly be any problems that could maybe exist? The head of the Georgia's ACLU realized that this is a problem. Her couple of daughters were in the restroom when three men came into that restroom, and her daughters were scared. Well, all of a sudden, she resigned from her position. She didn't want part of that, which she was part of. Like, people think about being compassionate, loving, and tolerant without having common sense, without thinking through what should be and how things should happen. In Howell, Michigan, they follow it along with what the president said, dictating that public schools must allow the boys to go into the girls' room and shower with the girls in the same shower room. How in Michigan, it's a very real thing, until the principal said they were losing students, lots of students. The superintendent said they were losing lots of students. The parents were saying they're not having any of this. It started when one of the boys was being driven home by his parents and said that there was a girl in the boys' room, bathroom with him. Well, that was the last day he ever showed up to school. We have in our mind that you know, we look at people and we can say there's a guy and there's a gal. We identify people by their gender. Talk to the lady over there. Talk to the gentleman over there. This gentleman will help you. Why do we do that? We do that because it's an easy identifier of a person, isn't it? But now we've said, wait a minute, it could be him, but it's actually, say, her. Imagine how confusing that is for a child. Doing a little studying on some of this, I was reading and it would say transgender woman. And it would go back and forth between transgender woman and transgender men and his and hers. I had to read it 3 times to try to figure out who was who. Why have we come to this? Because we've rejected God. That's why. We've rejected what God says about who a person is. We've rejected who He has called us to be. Women, God has given you very important and strict instructions of who you are, who He's made you to be, and what responsibilities He has for you. Men, the same goes for you. We picked on the women long enough. Now it's our turn. We need to be strong and courageous men. Men that will do what God calls us and created us to do. God created, when we look at the scriptures, we find that there's something that the Bible says about who we are and our responsibility. And the first one is, God created men with the responsibility to lead. In the beginning, God created man and woman. He created Adam, then He created Eve. You can see that they're both made in the image of God, so of a value and of importance. They're equal, but He has given each one distinct roles. His reason that He called them male and female. There's a reason why He said that there's a reason why she has the kids, and you know what Adam is told to do? Go get a job, right? There's a reason for that. God designed us a certain way. And He designed it to fit together perfectly. Remember Adam, he looked at all the different creatures, said even of the apes, none of them are like him. And God said that Adam needed a helper. And so He made Eve. Because He knew we need all the help we can get, right? God made Eve to complement Him. So that what He is and what she is different to the degree that they work and fit together perfectly. Doesn't mean you have a perfect marriage, but you can see even your own marriage or your own relationships, whether it's at work or here at church. There's certain people to ask about certain things by gender. Generally speaking, and a lot of it has to do with our culture, generally speaking, if you have a vehicle issue, who do you talk to? You talk to a guy, don't you? Generally speaking, if you want to know how attractive something looks, who do you talk to? You talk to a lady. Why? Well, I think part of it's culture, but I think God has kind of designed us that way. Guys have generally speaking, have a mind that puts things together. And ladies have a tremendous ability to appreciate and know what looks good. Guys can see it after it's done and see, yeah, it does look good, or it does look better that way. But generally speaking, there's those differences that we find ourselves doing. I tell you, I go in the grocery store, whether if I'm buying something for church or if I need to get something, Don mistakenly tells me to go to the store to get something. After all, it only takes 45 minutes to try to find it on the shelf. This is what I do. I will do this. I'll go in. I'll look to see where I think it is. Then I'm done. I start looking for a woman. Why? Because in our culture, ladies generally do the shopping, right? And I will find some gal, and I'll say, ma'am, because, you know, it's so often difficult to find workers when you want them, right? They say, ma'am, can you help me out? Do you know where this might be? And 9 times out of 10, they got it right. We'd appreciate that. And God has made us different. And one of the things that God has done is created us with a difference that men, we are to lead and go in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 23 to 25. If I go in Ephesians, that'll help. The husband is head of the wife. This is a guy's favorite verse, isn't it? The guy is the head of the wife. His other favorite verse is in verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands. This was just, you could tell a guy wrote this out, don't you? The husband is head of the wife, and also Christ is head of the church, for he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as Christ is subject to the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. We read this and we get pretty proud as guys, saying, yeah, I'm the one that's the leader. I'm the head honcho in my house. I'm the one that wears the pants in the family. Well, we know that if we were to keep reading, we were to love our wives. But the point being here, that God says, remember, this isn't just Paul, this is God, the Holy Spirit, using Paul to record exactly what God once written. And here it says, men, you have a responsibility. Not some sort of high privilege that makes you dictator of all. You have a responsibility as a leader. A responsibility as a leader is a lot different than being a boss. You see kids from very little, even up to teenagers and even getting to the 20s, and you see that there are those people, sometimes they get older and even that, and they believe that being a leader is being the boss, the one that tells what other people are supposed to do. Well, maybe in our American sinful culture, but what really is a leader according to God? He's the one that cleans the toilets. He's the one that washes feet. He's the one that doesn't say, go and do, but follow me, let us go this direction. He leads. He's leading, and in that leadership, at least as I look at the scriptures, the way that I read it, he's never telling anybody else to do something that he himself won't do. Why? Because he's a leader, not a dictator. He's a person that at home, he leads by doing the discipline and the training. If we look a little bit in chapter 6, you see there that the fathers, that do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. It doesn't say that to moms. Sure, that's what moms do, isn't it? They participate in that. But who's the one responsible? But go back to Adam and Eve. Remember who was it that ate them out of house and home? Remember? Who was it that took the apple? It has to be an apple because we're in America. If we're in a different country, it's a different fruit. takes the apple, breaks it off, takes a nice big bite. Who did that first? That's right, she did. And that's exactly why in Romans chapter 5, it says, because of Adam's sin, we're all sinners. How can that happen? Well, he did participate as well, didn't he? I'm reading the story in Genesis, and I see that Adam is with her. Where was he? I think what we like to do is to think that maybe he was off somewhere else. But the more I look at that passage, I think he was standing right there watching the whole thing. What happened to saying, Eve, don't listen to that snake? What happened to him saying, no, we got no business being here? She knew. She even, Adam and God had told her no. Now I wonder if Adam possibly, this is a possible, gave her the instruction not even to touch the tree. Regardless, who is held accountable? He is. Why? Because he is the one that was put in charge of the family. We see even Timothy that's described that in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 12 to 13. This talking about within the church. As a church, do not permit a woman to teach or have authority over a man. She must be silent. Why? It doesn't say because she ate the apple. It says Adam was formed first and then Eve. It says in having the headship of males and the submission of authority to males within proper context has to do with the way God created them, not with the way they fell. The fall illustrates the authority, the responsibility that Adam had. Men, we have a responsibility. We're not the only ones that's allowed to teach our kids, but whose head does it fall on? It says in verse 4 of chapter 6 of Ephesians, fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath. You bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. We have a responsibility, men, to make sure that our children are being taught and being taught right. Whether it's from our wives, or as they go to school and they come home and sometimes need to set them straight, or sometimes sit there and help them with their homework, or have them teach you so that way you can help them with their homework. Whatever the case might be. But we need to be those leaders. Whether it's at home, making sure that at home things are running well. Why? Because we're taking the lead. We're taking the lead to build our relationship with our wives and our children. We're taking the lead, whether maybe not at home, but at church, at work. We're taking the lead when it comes to what should be happening there in the business. And we look at things maybe not going well. So we take the lead and say, you know what? Maybe if we did this, this would be different. Our employer can say, no, I don't think we should do that. Well, you took the lead and did what you could. Or it might be that they say, well, I never thought of that. It amazes me when, especially with teens, at least that I observe the teens, but it's also true of men in society. Men don't take the lead. Men, they're afraid to. I don't know why. But we see a culture where men are happy to sit back and let the ladies do the work. That's sad. You see in homes where, not those homes where maybe the daughter is 20 years old or something and she's still under the care of her parents. Well, I'm talking about young men who think that they should be under the care of their parents instead of out making a living and being grown up and taking the lead in their own life. Our culture has become lazy. We think everybody else should do for us instead of taking that leadership and that initiative to go and do what we need to do. God created men with the responsibility to lead. And I believe we'll be held accountable for it. James talks about teachers. Don't many of you desire to be teachers, because knowing that they will receive a stricter judgment? I believe every leader, whether it's a teacher or a pastor or whoever it might be, as men in your home, you're held accountable to God for it. You're held accountable to God, and I believe to a greater degree, because it's your responsibility about your home. In church here, taking the responsibility and that initiative to say, you know what, something needs to be done about this. And taking that initiative, not to go tell somebody, I mean, that might be appropriate, but just to get it done. In society, we need to watch. I see in the Old Testament, you see the structure where the men were the ones that were the leaders. Not always, but often. That doesn't mean women weren't part of it. In fact, you find that they are a key part in many times. But men, we need to be those leaders. As leaders, we need to be protecting. We have a responsibility to protect. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Husbands, likewise, dwell with your wives with understanding. That's a tough one, isn't it? Dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. I see here that taking as a husband, and looking here and seeing that not only they're to dwell with their wife, but to honor their wife, treat them well. It's part of leadership is also. It says, as to the weaker vessel. Now I remember years ago someone pointing out, well, see right there, it says, doesn't say she is the weaker vessel, it says as a weaker vessel. This was a gal that was not excited about verses where it said submit to your husbands. It's true, it doesn't say that she's a weaker vessel. But what I see here is that, men, we have a responsibility in the way that we protect our family. You look in the Old Testament and you see, by example, at least, that you have, who goes out to war? It's the men. The men went out to protect the country, or to take it over. In our homes, we need to protect our families. There's ways to protect our families. We can get a security system or a dog or something that way, right? Maybe if you're comfortable purchasing and owning a gun. We do things to protect our families physically. There are certain parts of town maybe you don't go to, or certain houses that you don't really want to hang out around. Okay, maybe that one's a little bit of a given, but what about this? What about the way we protect our family emotionally? Making sure that we're not, the way that we are behaving and acting is not in a way to destroy them, but to treat them well and protect who they are. Or spiritually, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, it says, I desire, therefore, that men everywhere pray. That men pray everywhere. And the word here for men isn't all y'all people. It's you males pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. I don't sure why necessarily Paul felt it necessary to point out that the men needed to pray. Maybe it was because, similar in our society, who generally is more spiritual? Generally speaking, it's the women more than the men. There's leadership that needs to take place in our spiritual lives, and part of that is protecting our family spiritually. And the things that influence our family, and the way that we train them up. So that way, we do our best in our responsibility to protect. Finally, in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, were created with the responsibility to provide. I say, if anyone does not provide for his own, in 1 Timothy 5:8, and especially for those of his own household, that he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Here, within the context of widows, there was not a welfare system like we have here. But rather, families took care of their family. Isn't that a novel idea? Wouldn't it be interesting if when it came time that instead of taking our folks, let me be a little crass here, taking the old people, put them in the old folks' home and throwing away the key and forgetting about them, do you think it might be a little different if we looked at our parents and grandparents and we said, they've come to a point where we need to take care of them? And take care of them means bring them into our own home. How many of them, there's some nice, very nice retirement places or assisted living or nursing homes. And I don't think there's anything wrong with using that as a means to help provide for their physical needs. As long as, but the rule has to be you don't throw away the key and forget about them. But I've been in some where I say to myself, wow, I don't know that I could ever let anyone live in a place like this. Wouldn't it be interesting to see our welfare system change because what happens is whether folks are older or perhaps somebody's got a handicap and unable to do work at all or certain kinds of work, where the family helps support them. Here, it says that, man, we're responsible to provide. I think that can include various tools and instruments to do that, various opportunities for housing in that. But at the same time, we must not push off, take our responsibility off of ourselves and put it on somebody else. Think of kids growing up. As kids grow up, you find out they're around you a little bit, and you find out they're just complete brats. They have no respect for you. They don't listen to you at all. They think they should just have whatever they want when they want it. And when you look at them, your first reaction perhaps is, boy, they're not a very nice kid. But your second reaction then might be, I wonder what kind of training they're getting at home. Why don't their parents teach them? Isn't that often what goes through your mind? We have a society where a boy in kindergarten is being taught he might be a girl. Do you think maybe that messes up our society? You think maybe we need to be the parents that say, no, they're lying. I mean, school has got some good benefits to it. You need school. But sometimes they will tell you things that are not true. And the best way to tell is to look at the Bible and see what it says. You're born a boy. You may like the color pink, but that doesn't make you a girl. You may like to do things like crafts and other things that maybe in our culture we don't think is very masculine, but that doesn't make you a girl. That makes you a person that likes different things than other people. Some people like soccer. Most people don't in our culture. The rest of the world loves it. So there must be something wrong with America. Just because you like certain things, and some things you might give them a little guidance and instruction on. Why do those kids turn up to be very disrespectful? Because the dads are not there leading. The dads are not there protecting them from what's wrong. The dads are not there providing the right instruction. And sometimes the dads just aren't there. they're not providing at all. And that's where a place like this becomes a great place for kids to learn and grow. We have contact with and regulars that don't have dads at home. And the impact that Park Lane Baptist Church has had, I mean, they've got some good moms, but the impact that our church has had, I can see it. I can see the impact that our church has had in helping young men, boys, become young men. I've seen the impact of even the opportunities that we have to help families young children, both with boys and girls. So that way they're not learning just spiritual things, but practical things. They can look and pick up the habits of the guys here or the ladies here and the influence that takes place. And they can see that God is at work in you and that they want God working in them. We live in a world that's messed up, in a world that needs God's Word. And you are the one holding God's Word in your heart. You are the one that shares God's Word with your mouth. You're the one sharing that truth. We need to make sure that we are, by example, being men in our home. Being the grandfather figure that the kids and grandkids know who's head of the clan, if you will. Grandfather is. Grandmother will say that she is, but someone said that the man is the head, but somebody's got to turn the neck. That's what she does. They see the way that she treats her. They see the way that he treats his family. He treats his grandkids. They see his wisdom. And they respect it. Men, we need to be men of courage and strength, because what's going to happen as the trend continues to decline, unless people start wising up, when we're talking to our kids, we tell them, homosexuality is wrong. Or, well, okay, but I think you're better off. You know, it's kind of interesting that you like the color pink. But right now, how about let's go work on the car? Or whatever you might do to reinforce those things that they're doing. With understanding of who they are as kids, that they're just children, understanding that they have different personalities, but also knowing that we have a responsibility to train them to be strong and courageous. Because in our society, in order to behave in a fashion that is biblical and good for our society, you must be strong. You must be courageous about it. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us men in particular as we look at these words, that we will strive to do well. Here, just really by introduction and looking at your word of what we must do, I pray, Father, that you would help us. We live in a world which is just insane. It's difficult to understand. I guess when there is no moral right and wrong, when there is no foundation for what what to believe and to know what's right, that men and women will do whatever. Father, I ask that you would help us, that we will be those leaders that you've called us to be. Leaders that not only will show the way and serve one another, but also have that love that you have commanded us to have. Father, I ask that you would help us in this society, that we will stand strong, that we will not waver, that we will be strong and courageous to stand up for what's right, not with a hateful spirit, but with an understanding to recognize that there are lost sinners who are confused, who believe something because they feel a certain way, but don't recognize that those feelings are not consistent with you and your word, and that feelings often ought not be followed. Lord, I pray that you would help us, that we will understand your word better, that we will learn to grow in it. And Father, that the men here in this church will be the men that you've called them to be in their homes. That in this church they'll be leaders, that you will use them to do your work well, knowing that we do this as servants of one another and of you. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would guide us as we continue through this study, that you will help us to develop these characteristics, that we might bring honor and glory to you. I ask this in Jesus' name.